I want to talk about the 2.5 tribes who took their possessions east of Jordan. Israel had come out of the wilderness, they were about to enter the land, they'd had all their inheritances sorted out, and Gad, Reuben, and half of Manasseh say that we want to stay here east of Jordan. And the reason they give is because they had lots of cattle, and this was good cattle territory. They hadn't even seen the rest of the land. They just saw what they thought was pretty good stuff, so they took it and said, we want this. And God gave in to them and said, okay, that's what you want. Well, your men must go over and fight to ensure that the rest of Israel get their inheritance and can come back. And it was not the ideal choice because they were going to be far away from the sanctuary. They were not taking the inheritance that God had intended for them. And yet God gave in. And you see this very often. The parable of the prodigal son, I think, brings that out. The father is clearly representative of God, and he agrees that the younger son should have what he wants, when he knew surely what was going to happen. And in a sense, God gives you what you want, in a strange way, what you really, really want. And the important thing then is to be careful what you want. Where is your heart? What is your heart's desire? And if your heart's desire, more than anything else, is to be in God's kingdom and to serve and to love God and his son, far more than anything else, far more than any material benefit, far more than your family, far more than yourself, then you will get that. But if you really want all the material stuff, well, you might get that, but you may not get God's kingdom. So they say to God through Moses, we want to build dwellings east of Jordan, Numbers 32, this is, for our cattle and for our children. And God says, okay, I agree, you can build these dwellings for your children and for your cattle. He puts it the other way round. This is Numbers 32, 16 and 24. They say cattle and children. They put their cattle before their kids. And God says children and cattle. He puts it the other way round, and I think that is significant. And it's a real challenge because we live in a world of working mothers, late working fathers, kids in daycare from babyhood onwards. Also the family can live in this nice house and not there, have this nice car and not that one, have this holiday, have the latest toys and gadgets, etc. And it's all justified in the name of, for the sake of the kids, not for myself, of course, it's for the kids, it's for my children. And you got to be careful that you're not putting cattle before kids in the name of the kids. And God hits back by saying, no, the children before the cattle. As my dear wife often says, it's not what we want to do for people, it's what they need. I'll say that again. It's not what you or me want to do for people. That's neither here nor there. That's probably looking at your own ego. It's what people need. And the need is the call. That's what I say. My wife says her thing, and I would respond to that by saying, yes, absolutely. The need is the call. The need is the call, and that is really the case. So they are given what they want in that sense. And we're told, first of all, that they saw. They saw the land of Jezer and the land of Gilead, that the place was a place for livestock. They saw and they wanted. Now, this is, I'm afraid, a rerun, really, of the whole thing in the Garden of Eden, because what happened with Adam and Eve there is really every man's sin. And the essence of that ancient record in Genesis 3 keeps on being alluded to, I would say, if you look for it, on almost every page of the Bible. Eve saw the fruit, and she desired it, but she desired the wrong fruit. They saw the land, and they desired it, and so they took it. And God allowed that. Even though God had actually given them all of the land west of Jordan, just like they had all the trees in the garden to eat of, but they wanted this one that was forbidden. So then God gives people what they really want. That's the thing. And when you look at all these towns, however, that are listed as being east of Jordan, which they took at the time, Ataroth, Dibon, Jazer, Nimra, Heshbon, Eleilah, Sebam, Nebo, etc., those place names occur, those names of those towns occur later in the Bible, and every time the reference is to the fact that Gentiles lived there. So this didn't work. They did not keep what they so lusted after. They did not keep it. And so this is a trouble of short-termism. And you see people throwing away their place in God's kingdom, like these people did, for the sake of short-termist thinking. And this is unfortunately encouraged by the quick screen-based world in which we live. So they were intended originally to cross Jordan and to go into Canaan. Crossing over Jordan to enter Canaan is the phrase that has been used several times to effectively mean to inherit the land that God wanted to give. I shall pass over Jordan into the land the Lord gives us, Deuteronomy 2:29. So, you know, Moses was told that his being excluded from the land meant him not crossing Jordan. That's the terms in which it was expressed. You can read it, Deuteronomy 3 and Deuteronomy 4. So to wish to not cross Jordan, they say, we will not cross. Don't bring us over the Jordan, they said. This is really saying that we will not take the inheritance that is intended. Now, they're told that, well, you're going to discourage your brethren by doing this, so they therefore are told that they have got to send their soldiers over with them until Israel had inherited the land. And yet that isn't really what happened, because Israel did not inherit all the land. You read this continually in the early chapters of Joshua, that they had a few victories, but they did not inherit all the land that was promised to them. And yet, by grace, the Reubenites, Gadites, and half of Manasseh are allowed to return and have their inheritance. So all things started a very questionable sort of way. The other thing that's often not realized is that when you look at the allotment of land that was given to them, it was huge. It was actually bigger than the land that was given to all the rest of the tribes on the west of Jordan. That territory they were given, that God mapped out for them, east of Jordan, was huge. What they actually wanted was just that bit of land that they saw. Give this to us. And God says, okay, you can have that, but I give you all this other stuff as well. It was massive. It went right up into Syria and the far north and really quite far east. And of course, they never took that land. So they got themselves into a position where they did not inherit as God intended them to. And also, they were told that they must go over before the Lord to war. And actually, they were told elsewhere that they had to go actually in the front of the rest of the Israelites. They were to be the first group of people, the first group of soldiers who actually encountered the enemy. They were to be the advance guard. So actually, they had a lot of people, a lot of their men were intended to actually be fighting for the rest of Israel. So it was actually a bit harder than what they initially quickly agreed to. They were told every armed man of you must pass over. And they agreed, but not everyone did. You can work that out, because in the census of Numbers 26, it shows that the tribe of Reuben had 43,730 men of military age. Gad had 40,500, Manasseh had 52,700, so let's say half of that is 26,350. So I make that 110,580 fighting men. But Joshua 4:13, only 40,000 of them went with the Israelites. So they didn't actually keep the deal, and the land was never totally subdued. And again, you have an allusion to Adam and Eve, that they were told to go out and subdue the earth. It's Genesis 1:28, it's the same Hebrew word, and they didn't. They saw the fruit and ate it. And it's the same here. They didn't subdue the land. They saw the bit of land they fancied, and they took that. So the problem is that, you know, God says, Numbers 32:23, if you won't do this, you have sinned against Yahweh, and be sure your sin will find you out. And it did find them out in the end, because you see from the Chronicles genealogies, 1 Chronicles 9 particularly, that they were the first who were to be taken away into captivity. And as I said, all the property, the cities that they took to have for their cattle, whenever you read about them in the future, they are all in Gentile hands. Deuteronomy 3:19, however, has got a lot of grace in it, where God says to them, I know that you have much cattle, so you can stay here. You see, on one hand, God's sensitivity to them. Yeah, understand the temptation you're going to have. You've got lots of cattle, and this is very good cattle land, etc. It's almost like God is, in some ways, too soft, really. And like the father, really, the parable of the prodigal is so profound. The father does come over as being too soft, and yet that is how God is. And yet people complain that God is a hard man, and he's unjust, and he does this, and I don't agree, and all this sort of thing. Really, if you are spiritually minded, and particularly if you have any sense of perception, I think you will see that in fact God is too soft. And the way that God allows these people to return and inherit the possession, again, is so gentle, really, because they didn't fulfill what they were told to do, not at all. And yet God sort of accepts that and what they did, even though it wasn't really what they were supposed to do. And as I say, in the end, it didn't work out. 1 Chronicles 5, the genealogies there, says that they went off into Assyria and were assimilated by the tribes there. And that was really the end of them. They had sacrificed their place in God's kingdom for short-termist attraction. You see people doing that all the time. People are obsessed with a certain house, a certain car, a certain lifestyle. And they see it, and there's so much else for them to enjoy, but that is what takes over in their living and their thinking, and the kingdom is lost for them. And it is for us to learn the lessons and to focus on the kingdom and the path that God has intended for us.